Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to You all hearts are open, all desires known, and from You no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from Exodus. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. But how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name of the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is on this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday was just as beautiful a morning as today is. And most every morning, I take my black Labrador retriever, Ella, on what I call a slog. That means I jog unless I don't feel that I like jogging, and then I walk fast. But I don't go very fast, ever. It's too beautiful, and I want to enjoy the day. And Ella is really the boss, and she needs to sniff everything around. Well, yesterday I started off on my slog, and I was enjoying the beauty of the day, and a couple of bikers started coming towards me. These were the very serious kind of bikers who have the full regalia on, you know, with the tight pants and shirts and helmets, and water is all over the bike. They looked like they were going for 100 miles, sweating and working hard. But as they passed me, they said, "Keep on going." And I thought, what? Why are they talking to me? They're acting like I'm in some kind of a race and I'm just slogging along. Huh, that was weird. Just a little while later, a runner started coming towards me, and boy, was he running at least 3 times my pace, and he too had that belt with the water bottles all around it. It's a sign of serious running. And just as he was passing me, he says, "You're doing great." I thought, what is up this morning? Is it just the weather? Why are people trying to pump me up so much? And then I looked down at my shirt. In my sleepiness, I had put on my husband's Iron Man shirt. I felt like calling out and saying, "Sorry to disappoint, but I'm just an iron spouse." Or my friend used to say an iron widow because your spouse has to exercise for 20 hours a week when they do that crazy race. When we exercise, we can actually change our bodies. We can't change them in every way. We can't make ourselves taller. We can't prevent ourselves from getting ill, but we can shape and tone and really make ourselves look different. If you exercise pretty hard, you will influence your body's makeup. And just the same, if you decide that you want to sit on the sofa in front of the TV and eat Häagen-Dazs all day, you'll grow in a different direction. Our bodies are living things. And we change them and influence them by the way that we live in relationship with them. Our behavior changes our bodies. The same is true of prayer. Just as behavior can change your physical body, prayer changes your insides. If you decide to live in an ongoing relationship with God, and spend time with God, your heart, your soul, your mind will be altered. And like exercise, it doesn't usually change right like that. But over time, your inner self will be altered because God, too, is a living being whose relationship with you changes you. In the book of Exodus today, we hear one of the most extraordinary conversations that I have ever heard. Moses is literally negotiating with God himself. Lawyers, take a clue. Moses does a great job. God has decided that no more of this Hebrew people. They went and worshiped a golden calf, and that was enough. It's time to cut loose and abandon them. Moses starts by saying to God, "You have chosen me, and if I am in your favor, then please don't abandon me." And God says, "Oh yes, I won't abandon you, Moses. I'll stay with you." So Moses is not satisfied with that, and he pushes further. "God, if you're going to stay with me, then you must stay with the Hebrew people and not abandon them because you've said that they are your people." "All right, I won't abandon my people," says God. "I will stay with them." But Moses doesn't stop with that. "And show your people your mercy and your graciousness, and let them call you by name," Moses pushes. God says, "I will show my mercy to whom I will show my mercy, and I will show my graciousness to whom I will show my graciousness. But I will let you call me the Lord, or in Hebrew, Adonai." And even that is not enough for Moses. So he says, I want to see your face. Now God has to compromise on this one. Because you see, the human being is incapable of seeing the face of God. We would simply die. It is too much for us in our limited capacity to see that much brightness, that much glory and light and love would wipe us out. I cannot show you my face or you'll die, says the Lord. But I'll put you on a rock. And as you stand there, I will cover your face with my hand and my glory will pass by. And then I will let you see what, in the translation that you have, God says, I will let you see my back. But in the Hebrew, the word is the place where I have just been. I will let you see the place where I have just been. So Moses is altered by his relationship with God. He's altered on the inside, and he's also changed on the outside. After God's glory passes by, Moses' hair goes stark white. And he starts radiating light. So when he comes down from the mountain, the Hebrew people are frightened of him. He's changed that much. But not only does Moses change, but God, the changeless one, allows himself to be influenced as well. God allows his direction to be altered. He who was going to kill the Hebrew people or at least abandon them changes his mind and sticks it out. Do you understand what that means? That means that not only are you changed by prayer, but God is willing to be influenced by you. Isn't that amazing? You could actually talk God into doing something. Moses did. I can't guarantee that God will say yes to you, but there certainly is precedent in Scripture for God relating to us, influencing us, and being influenced by us, because God is a living being. And God really wants to relate to you and to dance with you. It is very important to distinguish between the things that are alive and the things that are not alive. God, who is alive, can change you. This can change you too. But is this alive? Is it? I don't hear anything. What about this? This seems alive, doesn't it? I swear to you, when I get my bill, I look over it and I say, wait a minute, I did not spend $250 at Walmart last Friday. This card must have gone by itself. In the gospel, the Pharisees try to trick Jesus. They say, should we pay our taxes or not? Jesus says, show me the money. They pull out a coin in his case. Whose face is on the coin? Jesus says. The emperor? Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's, Jesus says. Do you realize how brilliant that is? What are the things that are God's? Anybody? Everything. Everything is God's. But Jesus also knew that it's important we remember that this is not a lie. But if you think that this is a lie, it will alter you in ways that are not good. So it's important that you learn how to control this object, how to use it for good, how to harness it, and not how to be used by it. Money is important. I can't avoid talking about it. For one thing, Jesus talked more about this stuff than he talked about prayer. Can you believe that? In the Gospels, he talks a little bit more about this than he does about prayer. That's how important it is. This stuff can be used for good or it can enslave you. Think about Judas Iscariot, the man who betrayed Jesus. When Jesus disappointed him and did not become king, Judas chose this instead. They put gold coins in his hand. And I can almost see him to this day looking at those heavy golden coins in his hand and thinking to himself, I choose this. This will be faithful when Jesus wasn't. This will not disappoint me. This will make me happy. This will not make you happy. It didn't work for Judas, and it doesn't work for us. This will not make you happy. In fact, some of the great teachers today, like David Ramsey, are saying, it would be better if we didn't use this, but stuck to this. Because at least with dollars, you can see them leaving your hands, right? And you tend not to spend as much if you have cash. Another thing that he tells us is that we ought to try not to be in debt. Because when you're consumed by debt, you're in a kind of bondage. So to the extent that you can, please try. Make it a top priority to liberate yourself from that, because it can consume you and define your life. And you are not this. You are not your bank account. Another thing that the scripture tells us is that when you have money coming into you, you should give a portion of it away. And that is essential for our health as a way of remembering that we control the money. It doesn't control us. And the beauty of something like a tithe, giving 10% of your income, is that if you have no income, you're not supposed to give. We don't want you going into debt. But if money is coming in, then don't hoard it all. Give some of it back to God. Of course, we'd love for you to give it to the church, but you could give it to anything. I'll be honest with you. Anything that is of God. Give it to the American Cancer Society. Give it to Episcopal Relief and Development. Give it to the work of Special Olympics. I don't know. whatever makes your heart sing, but give. Make the important relationships in your life to be living relationships. Relationships with your loved ones. Relationships with God. Make this something that you keep track of, control, and give. Not something that defines who you are. You know, when Moses encountered God, he was frightened. And often Jesus had to say, "Don't be afraid," when he was talking to people. Angels also, whenever they appeared, they usually said, "Don't be afraid." Being in relationship with a living thing is scary. When you're in relationship with someone you love, they change you, and that can be frightening. It's even scarier to be in a relationship with God. You should always give enough of this to where you're a little scared. If you're totally comfortable with what you're giving, it's not enough. Make sure that your gift says, "God, I want to be like you, trusting and good, generous and faithful." Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are sick, lonely, hungry, or in pain. Comfort them and give them strength. I invite you to speak their name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral, that we may serve you here in the heart of downtown Jacksonville. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over this city, that there may be an end to poverty and homelessness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring peace to our broken world, that there may be greater understanding among races and people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Help us to care for the earth as your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask you to bless all who have died and comfort those who mourn for them. I invite you to speak their names. the Christians who died in Egypt. Lord, in your mercy, let us give thanks to God for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
Father in heaven, help us to serve you with all that we have, all that we are, and to be changed by you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. Please be seated. We're so glad that you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we do have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We also have gifts for our newcomers in the back of the church after the service. I want to welcome our guest organist this morning. Our John Barry is here with us. John is our rector emeritus and has retired, but we love it when he comes to visit. And Tim is visiting with his family in New York. On Saturday night, we are going to have a talent show, St. John's Got Talent. Mark your calendars for a wonderful free barbecue dinner and fun show. It's this Saturday, October the 22nd. Monica is in the back of the church. Where are you, Monica? There she is. Please go to her and tell her if you're coming so we can make sure we have the right amount of food. Or you can call the office. We are going to invite you to bring your pledge cards next Sunday. We're going to put a plate right here, and as you come up for communion, you can put them in the plate as an offering to God. But if you don't want to do that and you don't like worrying about stuff, you can go online and pledge online. So it's very easy. So we hope that all of our members will consider their gifts, both to this church and everywhere at this time of year as you prepare for 2012. And speaking of giving, we are going to have a blood drive, so you can also give your blood. We are going to have the Bloodmobile parked in front of the church on October the 30th, and there will be a sign-up sheet in the back of the church with the parish nurses. If you're able to do that, if you're not able, then don't worry. We're not asking of you, but if you are able to give blood, sign up in the back. You can do it right before church, after church, slip out during the sermon. We're so glad that you're with us today. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, we are taught your ways and called to steadfast faith. By your Holy Spirit, we have received your word and are empowered to become imitators of our Lord. By your grace, we are amazed and we praise your name, joining our voices with those of the angels and with all the company of heaven as we sing. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. And may that blessing rest upon you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.